Got to get into the hectic world of NIL. And who better to do that with than Pat Bostic?
No.
Are you pretending to be the UNLV coaches when the quarterback is asking for more money? No. No. Allegedly. We'll get into all that. Jerry Dulac in his chat yesterday was asked, scale of 1 to 10, how heavily will the Steelers be pursuing Davante Adams? And he said 10. So that's Dan Graziano, that's Jeremy Fowler, and now Jerry Dulac all saying the Steelers have at least dipped their toes in the wide receiver market. Here's the thing I can't wrap my head around with Davante Adams, because he'd be the choice. I mean, he would be the choice. You guys say he's better than Ayuk. I don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely better than Brandon Ayuk. He got a cap hit at 25 million big ones this year. It's a lot of money. That's more than they have. I don't know how you swing it.
How much would you have to actually pay whenever you do acquire him?
Yeah, it'd be prorated, so it would depend on the when, and I'm not going to pretend like I understand all that. I probably should have asked Whaley that yesterday. The thing about it is, if you can find a way to pay him this year, the next 2 years, it's a $44 million cap hit, but you can cut him, and it would only cost 15 next year, and it would only cost about 8 the year after. So you could look at it as a one-year thing, and then you could cut him and maybe figure something else out, something like that. Not that that's fun. Not that the player likes that.
44 over 2 years, so 22 a year?
44 in each.
Oh.
Oh. So technically, yes, but they're not going to pay a non-quarterback $44 million against the cap.
No.
Yeah. So I don't... Hey, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I understand the NFL salary cap. I really don't. I just talk to smart people, and they tell me how to feel. Just like that guy who broke down all of the Rowdy Tellez contract incentives.
He got upset because everybody was using his graphic.
I'd be upset, too, because of the guy who initially took it. Like, I wouldn't be mad at Pat McAfee. He didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jared Kane or who... I might be crushing the wrong person here. Whoever stole it from that guy is the guy who was the bad guy, not McAfee. I'll protect my West Virginia brethren. So Davante Adams, sounds like they're going to go after this guy.
How, though?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
It sounds like they don't have that kind of money.
Well, who's got $44 million to spend on a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver?
I know.
Now 25 for 1 year?
Right.
You might have to salary the other way.
You would think Jerry would put that out, though, if he would have some...
That's what I'm saying.
What does he know...
Right.
...that would indicate that they could even remotely pursue him?
Texter, Davante has an out in his contract after 2024. That's great, but how about 2024? And if I am Davante Adams, why would I pull the ripcord on an out if I'm going to be getting paid a bleep ton of money the next 2 years? Although maybe a lot of this came in the signing bonus. I don't know. I'm reading Spot Track right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think through my noggin here of how they can make it work, but, I mean, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And then you have to talk about what you'd be willing to give up to get the guy. Probably not a rostered player in the middle of the season when you're trying to win a division and then some. And you just have to see. Someone write something. Caboli! I know you're listening. You're always listening. You're always texting. Tell us how this could work.
Saw Mark yesterday.
Yeah.
He was on the phone. We both smiled at one another. It was very nice.
You said he's got duck feet.
Yeah. He does. I think he'd admit that. I'm losing my hair. So we all have our flaws. He's got many more positives than negatives. You, on the other hand, my friend.
I'm all negative.
You are a wreck.
I am all negative.
You are a wreck.
I'm barely alive.
You're a zombie.
You're quite alive, which is a shocking...
The Walking Dead.
The personality is big. The body is
Your soul is alive.
Yes.
Your body is...
Crumbling.
It's just a...
What's wrong with Doran? You said we've all got our things.
You're basically a ghost.
Doran, the thing that...
All right, no. What are we... We're talking about... Let's talk
you're
about
You're not
Devontae.
Interested in what he thinks is wrong with you?
We're talking
I'll
about Devontae.
I'll tell you what's wrong with Doran.
A lot.
Cares too hard.
No.
Too good looking.
No. He's... All those things are true. He has got this... there's a part of me that's always been scared of him.
Yes!
He's got this sick side to him with this, you know, Joker, Michael Myers stuff that, like...
You better be ready.
You know, you just...
I'm talking to you.
I know who you're talking to.
Yeah. I love the fact that, like, he's not in the booth during the games, the whole game. Like, we have separation. I know where he's at.
Do you think Pitt wanted him to be a sideline reporter, not just because of the analysis, but because you just get one more intimidating body down there on the sideline?
Yeah.
He's flexing.
He's diffused some things.
Yes.
On the sideline.
For sure.
Won't go into details, but he's diffused some things.
Oh, yeah. I'm a muscle.
He's like...
Larry Richard ain't doing that.
No, Larry's catching spotted lantern flies in a... He said that on the broadcast. He goes, we're all very relaxed down here. I can't do his voice. He's got such a good voice. We're all, you know, this is as calm
it's
as we...
third down!
I wish one time he'd say, it's third down! But anyway, he's like, we're all very calm down here, except for the fact that these spotted lantern flies. I said, why don't you go get like a little butterfly net and catch some for me? Put them in a jar. I just pictured him running around the sideline with a...
Oh, look at this one.
Look at this one. Ooh, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy.
Well, real quick, my wife was at Trader Joe's last week, and there was a man there, and she said, hey, sir, you've got a spotted lantern fly on your back. And he said, oh, thank you. And she's like, do you want me to, like, flick it or, like, get it off? He, like, small of his back. She figured he couldn't reach it. No, that's okay. He just keeps walking around, right? She's, like, keeping an eye on him because there's a spotted lantern fly in the back or however the hell you say it, spotted lantern fly. Crawls up to his shoulder, he plucks it off his shoulder, and then just walked around with it in his hand.
What?
He's walking around Trader Joe's, the lantern fly in his hand.
There was one in my car the other day as I was driving.
I'm glad they don't bite or anything. What if they?
Like, it just flew like right across my face, and I almost like went off Banksville Road. Seriously, it was. They had them at the Green Tree Pool, Callis.
Don't.
Oh, here he goes.
Don't do that.
It sounds like they may not have enough room in the Green Tree Pool for spotted lantern flies.
Text line brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I think if the Steelers, back to the point here, and we'll get into the NIL stuff in the next segment, if the Steelers had Devontae Adams, they're going to score points, like by accident almost.
Do you think the offense changes? Would you change the offense the way that you're doing and it has been working? Would you guys change your approach if you did have Devontae, you had George, Pat Fry, and the running backs? Justin Fields.
I think the audience is going to value both of your guys' opinion on this more than mine, so I'm going to say mine and get out of the way. Justin Fields did a great job finding the open man on Sunday. Where's the ball supposed to go? He put the ball where it's supposed to go. You just don't have guys that are going to get open consistently. Devontae Adams, George Pickens are going to get open consistently. And if he's putting the ball where it's supposed to go, I think you're scoring points. And I think you became a true, legitimate, real threat in the AFC with that guy. Absolutely. I nailed it.
Bang. Agree.
Bang.
Imagine you've got a post and a deep cross, and it's Pickens on the post and Devontae Adams on the deep cross. And then you got Jaylen Warren check release into the flat. Freiermuth on a backside dig. You know, or a shallow cross.
Mm-hmm.
You've got those. I think it adds layers to your. It adds a layer to your offense that you do not have.
Like a parfait.
I think it adds more of a layer to this offense than Ayuk would.
I agree.
To me, Ayuk is more of a complementary receiver than a focal point. I think you have two focal points with Devontae Adams and George Pickens. Boom.
And I think Arthur Smith is very adaptable in areas like that. Like, he has an offense and he has a foundation of how he runs offense, but he is very, very adaptable whenever he has certain personnel. And he would adapt the offense to make it more explosive in that area.
You know what I think Arthur Smith is doing right now? It's going unseen. I think this Darnell Washington character is getting a little bit better. I think he's making it a personal project of his.
He's a heck of a tight ends coach.
And he's a
Arthur Smith.
And that's a tight end like built in a test tube. That guy.
He's more tackle than he is anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's erasing defensive ends.
It's impressive.
It is. You don't see a lot of that in the NFL.
You've got a third tackle without having to report one as tackle.
You don't have to rub the nipples.
Who was the guy they used to?
Banner.
Banner.
Yeah, Zach Banner.
And Mother Hubbard. Remember Mother Hubbard?
Mother Hubbard.
Mm-hmm. That's what Tomlin called him. He called him it so much I forget his first name.
Kyle.
It wasn't Kyle Hubbard.
It wasn't? Oh, that's another player. Oh, what?
Kyle.
Someone will text
Chris in. Hubbard. Chris.
That's it.
Yes.
Mother Hubbard.
Mother Hubbard.
All right. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. When we come back, it's rare. In fact, I don't think it's ever happened before that the UNLV, well, the former UNLV starting quarterback is at the center of the sports world. Well, he is today. Now the running back's out. There's a defensive end from USC transferring now after three games. That's a top 25 team with some postseason aspirations. What do we make of all this? Well, we've got Pat Bostick, and he's an expert on such matters. We'll talk to him about it when we come back. Man, PJ from KDKAM, he's a big honcho over there. He's also the booth producer for the Pitt broadcast.
The best.
Yeah, he came in here. You guys were cutting up and talking about how much fun you guys have on the road. Doesn't hurt their 4-0 either. I mean, that's just got to be. It's fun either way, traveling with your guys, your friends, your pals, your buds. And then you're 4-0.
Makes it a lot better because last year was tough.
Yeah.
Like, and then, but there's always a silver lining is to be together, and I get to be with my former teammate every single weekend, and we get to talk about football for a living. I mean, that is unbelievable. I mean, that's one of the best things in life. But whenever it's not going well, it gets tough.
Yeah.
It gets tough.
Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. You also said it's your favorite thing you got going on right now, and ow.
One of my favorite things I got going on.
Now, we had a good rapport over here. Guess I had to play college football with you to be your real brother.
One of my favorite things going on right now, my second would be calling high school football games, as I'm going to do tomorrow night, Central Catholic and NA.
Are you?
With Dan Zingrilli, yes.
That's awesome, uh-huh. Man.
Close third me? The show you, we do?
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, I was going to my kids' games. I get to do that this weekend.
Four?
Central Catholic at NA.
Going to be a good one.
It's going to be a really good game. Have fun, dude.
I will.
You know your way around?
It's at Baldwin.
Oh, you know who will be there?
Becky.
Yeah, and he's going to be all.
Yeah, who else will be there?
Drooling.
Pink.
Big Pink.
Pinkston. He's a coach.
Pinkston. Todd Pinkston?
No. His cousin.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Good receiver for the Eagles.
Yeah.
I heard yesterday that the quarterback for Texas Tech, Kyron Drones, and the
Virginia Tech. He was
Big
at
12.
Texas Tech before.
So, you're right about that. So Kyron Drones and Cam Ward, the quarterback at Miami, didn't know it until like 2 years ago. They're cousins.
Really?
Yeah. How wild is that?
It is wild.
You just
I
don't
think
know.
You guys need to do some research.
Doran, you want to do a little DNA and me? 23 and me, whatever they call
DNA
it?
DNA and me.
DNA.
Like, I love when we hear the little squeal laugh from inside the producer's booth.
Not
DNA and me.
Not DNA in me. DNA.
Oh my god.
You want to do a little DNA in me?
I meant
like,
20.
That is awful.
I meant 23 in me.
Okay. You know how bad that sounds?
Yes. That's why I'm trying to backpedal.
You want me to put my DNA in you?
Dear Lord, can we move on, please?
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought
back
to you by
the Green
PJ
Tree
Fitzpatrick
pool.
Home Improvement Trust. PJ.com.
Can I tell him about that?
He seems not on the air. We're too far off the rails as is. So how about this situation? Twitter poll, you can vote at _ Adam Crowley. Which of three listed wide receivers would you like the Steelers to try to acquire? We'll talk about it coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So this UNLV quarterback, they're 3-0, and you know, I don't know that they have the inside track for a college football playoff spot, but you're a group of five school that beats two power four schools in your non-conference. And you look at their strength of schedule, they got a puncher's chance to be the 12th seed in this playoff. And their quarterback, Matthew Sluka, whatever it is, he's transferring. Came from Holy Cross, transfers into UNLV. He alleges they promised him $100,000. He's only gotten $3,000. Now, UNLV is alleging that they made good on what they were going to pay him, but because they're winning, he has now come and asked for more, and they said, we're not giving you more. So I don't know who to believe here. All I know is a 3-0 quarterback is transferring. Their running back is transferring. And you've got a defensive end at USC, Southern California, who's also transferring before he plays his fourth game and can no longer redshirt. Guys, what are we doing here?
Pat, all I know is this just opened up the floodgates to a whole other realm of NIL. And I don't know if this has happened last year or the year before, whenever NIL started, but I know now this is going to be a whole other dynamic that everybody's going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were guys that monitored their games, and probably it didn't bubble up to the public sphere that they decided to redshirt because they weren't the starting quarterback for a team that's 3-0 and beat two Power 5 teams. I'll say a couple things. One, I know, if not for a fact, on very, very good intelligence, that there are plenty of schools that say one thing and do another, or collectives, I should say, when it comes to what is agreed upon verbally, because you can't sign something until you're on campus, until you're enrolled, until you're there. Can't sign a deal and so forth. So that happens, one. Two, I have a hard time believing that UNLV couldn't find $100,000 if they needed it for their starting quarterback when they're 3-0 and in good stead. And I do know that there are agents out there that are trying to get people money, players money, for, you know, their performance. Maybe their performance exceeds expectations, and they're starting to leverage it. All those things are real. All those things are real. What I hope is that the problem right now is you guys work in a world where there are contracts, right? Contracts have stipulations that go both ways. These are very one way. Coach leaves a school, there's a penalty. Now, it doesn't matter who pays the penalty, but there's no penalty for saying I'm out, I'm done. You know, and that's where I feel like we don't have this thing buttoned up. And it's going to continue to get weaponized and utilized. And I don't begrudge the players for getting paid at all. They deserve it. What I fail to understand is, how is this representative of how the NFL works, how life works, right, how the working force works? It's not. This is the definition of having your cake and eating it too.
You need contracts. You simply need them. If you're going to come in, you get $100,000 to be my quarterback, you got to be here 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's why it needs to work. And I'm with you, Pat. Players have always needed to be paid, in my opinion. You come in, you help the school make money, you're an All-American, you win a big game 13-9, you're marketable, you should be able, at minimum, to have name, image, and likeness. I've always believed that. At some point, you need to be able to teach these young men lessons about life, to get to your point. And then the fans have to factor in at some point, too. The fans have to matter.
Yep.
There's so much about college football now that doesn't help the fans. I'm looking at Oregon State. I'm looking at Washington State. Other programs get screwed. I want to be able to know, and I feel pretty good about this, but I want to be able to know Eli Holstein's going to be here for a couple years, right? And I'm just using him as an example, mm-hmm. as a guy that the audience right now has fallen in love with, and for good reason, over four games. And yet, I'm sure in the back of some fans' minds, even though I don't think it's going to happen, is he going to be here next year? It shouldn't be that way. You want to fall in love. You want to watch a guy grow. You want to watch Kenny Pickett play for 5 years, buy 8 jerseys, watch him develop as a man and a player, and you're not getting to see that in some of these instances because of the way that this is all played out.
Well, you talk about Devontae Adams and cap hit, right? You talk about, you know, Justin Fields and what you have to pay him. There are parameters. There's a system for how that works that applies to every other team in the National Football League. The same thing is true in baseball, although it's different, in basketball, in hockey, right? Sports that this country has embraced and loves and is more invested in financially than ever before in our history. College football has never been more lucrative. It's true. Do the players deserve a piece of it? 100%, 1,000%. Does it need to be lawless and unpredictable? And does it need to cannibalize the spirit of the game the way it has at times? No, it doesn't need to. And that to me is a manifestation of not having a plan to implement it. And that's on, candidly, I'll point to myself. I've worked in this business for 12 years. It's on the NCAA. It's on institutions, on coaches. It's on all the powers that be, TV networks, for not realizing this was coming and having a plan for how to implement it and to get the players what they deserve in a way that preserved the integrity and the spirit of the sport. I don't know if you could point at any country, maybe the Premier League, where a sport is more ingrained in the community than college football.
Yep.
And we risk ruining it based on a failure of leadership. Quite frankly,
he blamed himself over here. You see that? That's
quarterback
that right there.
That was great. That was great.
But you know, I'm a part of it, right? Like I never saw this coming. Well, but I played too. And listen, I mean, I wasn't an All-American, but I would have gotten paid coming out of high school.
Darn right,
I would have gotten paid. And I don't begrudge that. I'm not Reggie Bush going to sue the Pac-12 and the USC. You know, like that's, I don't begrudge it. It's times change. Things are different.
I have one question. I don't know if you see what's coming for next year, but I do have a question on that. And then I wanted to open this up to you. Something that Mark Caboli wrote about the NFL and the state of things. You guys need your opinion on what's going on with offense in the NFL. So let's get to all that. We got 25 minutes to do it. Man, we have absolutely destroyed the clock here to the point where we don't even have time to play the We Screwed the Clock Up song.
Play it.
Well, now I have to find it, which is going to take more time. When I find it, I will play it per your request.
It's a great song. Good jingle.
Real quick question. When universities start paying the athletes next year, do you think there'll be some sort of contracts then?
I would imagine there'll be some sort of contractual relationship. The question is what happens to collectives and how does that operate? And there's a hearing about that, I think, today.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Why could it be kind of like this job? Like you have your contract, but then you have endorsements. Like they could be like endorsements.
Oh, that's a good call.
You know, the collectives could be like
right,
the endorsement.
But the endorsements have to get approved by the station, right? You can't just do them like
right.
The station has to write the contract with the company. And
so it would have to be approved by the athletic departments?
There would have to be some approving body.
Mm.
Otherwise, like you can't just endorse.
DraftKings.
Well, yeah, you can't just endorse a company that only wants to pay you. They have to sponsor
be
the
a
station.
Part of the whole thing.
Yeah, they have to be. Gotcha. It can't just be like a ghost company that's just paying money.
But isn't that like what the collective is? It's like it's
essentially. But okay. I think what they're trying to do is if you're going to put a cap, and the cap's going to be regulated, you have to then have a mechanism to control teams and how they go over the cap with booster driven collectives. Otherwise, all you're doing is, you know, the shallow end's becoming the deep end now.
Mm.
The water level's just higher. And the floor has risen. That's all that will happen. Competitively speaking. This isn't about the guys and girls not getting paid. It's about the competitive balance aspect of it. And that to me is under siege right now. And it makes life difficult for the Pitts and the West Virginias of the world, and to some degree, the Penn States of the world. Because the value systems are different at different places, too, in terms of what they're willing to do and the money available to do it.
We did a bad job with the clock right there. We did a bad, bad job with the clock right there. Oh, yeah. All right, transitioning. Callis, get the football music ready. Because now it's time for a football segment brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Bang. Oh, don't you love it when a plan comes together? So, Mark Caboli on Twitter today, because that's where he writes his stuff. He's the Pat McAfee Steelers Insider, 93.7 The Fan Steelers Insider. He writes, past five Super Bowl winners finished 19th, 20th, 25th, 29th, 23rd in rushing, but points per game right now at its lowest in 18 years. Passing yards per game, teams are averaging just over 200 per game. That's the lowest since 2003, has been on a steady decline since the year 2000. Meanwhile, running the football is up nearly 20 yards per game. And I ask you, football experts, former players, what do you make of this? Just the cyclical nature of the game?
Trend. There's a trend every year, in my opinion. There's trends, and it's like, how do we play chess? And just kind of like even the, you know, when we were talking about last week, the Chargers game, like you both knew that everybody, what each team wanted to do. It's like, how do you play chess and do the opposite and try to psych somebody else? I think that there's trends every single year. I don't know if that actually makes any sense right now what I'm saying, but like I feel
it does.
I feel like it's like, okay, like what are we going to be this year? We know this is a pass happy league. Let's try to play some defense and switch how the league is so we can get the upper hand on the Mahomes of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, part of this is symptomatic of no preseason. No one is playing preseason games. No starters are playing in preseason anymore. So you're three games in, slower starts. I think it takes a while for offenses to adjust to what defenses are doing. If I'm any defense in the world and I'm playing Mahomes or Allen, I want them to run the ball. I absolutely want them to run the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. I wouldn't read too much into it. I think eventually the law of averages will pan out and those high-powered offenses will become high-powered again as they figure things out. It's a long year.
I heard Bill Belichick talking about this. I brought it up to Doran before. he was doing the Manning cast in the, who was it, the Falcons game a couple of weeks ago where they beat Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And Philly's just running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. And Belichick said, they're just going to run it up their backsides because they're in their dime defense. They're small. And Philly right. recognizes that, and they're just going to keep running it. Have we got to a place where year after year, quarterbacks, high-powered offense, you're building your roster, and all of a sudden one day you wake up and you go, oh, dang, we're a little bit smaller than we should be. Offenses then adjust, and now you're running the football, and then it'll go wind up going back the other way. Then it'll go back the other way.
I think that you'll start to find the Peyton Wilsons of the world more. I think that I think that college football might allow guys that are 6'2", 225 pounds to not just play safety or not just play linebacker, to just roam around.
Yeah.
So then that would solve that problem. And there are a lot of guys out there like that. A lot that are just athletic freaks. Like, oh, you're athletic freak. Oh, you didn't work at running back. You didn't work at wide receiver. Hey, go run around and tackle somebody and blitz. That can work.
Positionless football to an extent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, guys that have position flexibility, too. I don't know. I think they won the game. Atlanta won the game letting Philly run the ball.
Sure.
Right? You shorten the game, one, by letting a team run the ball. You adjust in the red zone and try to force three, not six. You get a takeaway or two, and you win 2017. I mean, small ball can go both ways. You know, you run the ball offensively, you shorten the game, you don't turn it over. Defensively, too, if you're willing to, which is – antithetical to how a lot of coaches were brought up in the business, let a team run the ball and have to piece drives together, not get penalized, rather than stop the run and let big plays be your downfall. It cuts both directions. And I think what you're seeing now is, especially early in the year with rust being a factor, you see the Steelers at Denver. Yeah, they're methodical, but one penalty throws them way off schedule.
Yeah.
And or one, you know, turnover throws them way out of whack, and you're getting these close, low margin for error games. Again, I think over time, offenses will adjust, figure things out, find a way to. And I think the one thing that's different about college and pro, too, is the run pass conflicts are different. The run pass conflicts in college are legitimate, right? Every run play is a pass.
Yeah.
They call illegal linemen downfield a boatload more in the NFL than they do in college. So you don't have that element of it to balance things out. So how do offenses adjust? We'll find out. Buffalo looked pretty darn good on Sunday.
They sure did.
Or Monday night.
And the Steelers obviously have, for the last few years, wanted to be this ground and pound team, and later in the seasons have been effective at doing that. This year, from the shoot, three straight games, over 100 yards rushing. I'd like to say that they saw all these trends. I don't know. They just always seem to believe in defense and running the football.
It's just falling into their lap, kind of.
That's right. And when you wind up paying your quarterbacks a grand total of like $5 million, you're probably going to spend a few more pennies on the defensive side. And so far, so good. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Quickly here before we run out of time, which teams are good in the NFL? Like, I feel like we ask this every September.
I don't know.
It's too early.
I don't know, man.
It's too early. I mean, it usually plays itself out. We all know who usually is there at the end, and they always start like this. Well, not always, but they did last year too, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the same teams that were in there and then last year are probably going to be in it this year. Like, the Lions are going to be good, I think, again, because of their coach. I think whoever has the quality coaching staff this year that can really put things together will be the teams that will end up being the good teams. And, you know, I don't know. Like somebody like Philly, like I feel like that they could figure it out. They have too many weapons to not.
Yeah, I mean, like, Baltimore's a really good 1-2 team.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I don't think Cincinnati's very good, and I think I expressed that as we talked in the
the season. Both you guys.
I have concerns about Burrow. I have concerns about their offensive line. Those are both borne out. San Francisco?
Hurt bad.
Beaten down. Mm-hmm. I mean, no Ayuk, no Debo. No Kittle, maybe.
Kraft.
McCaffrey. McCaffrey's in you know, Belgium or Germany or wherever he is. I mean, Detroit hasn't been as good. Tampa's looked good, and then, I mean, it's...
So asking a month, pretty much, kind of deal?
Yeah. I think the Steelers are a good football team. They've played better than I anticipated. Now, who have they beaten? Denver, Atlanta, and the Chargers. The Chargers were the best of the 30 teams they beat.
Apparently, Justin Herbert's going to play this week?
Yeah, he was limited.
I think that's a bad idea. I'd sit him, give another week, But who cares? Their problems aren't mine. And I got an axe to grind with Jim Harbaugh, which I'll do at some point in the 9 o'clock hour. Something he said that really pissed me off. I couldn't stand him before. He got a punchable face just like his brother. Can't stand him even more now. We'll tell you why coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But a simple question could yield a complicated answer. And it's about the Steelers when we come back. Pat, this was fun as always, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Pat.
See you next Thursday from 7 o'clock until 9, just like every Thursday. Brought to us by Giant Eagle and Gatorade. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com today. High of 77.